I am sorry, but your baby is blind, the doctor says.
The problem is your child cannot see well enough to keep up with classroom work,
the teacher says. These are words a parent never wants to hear. But you know, it doesn't have to be the end of the world. The American Council of the Blind is here for you and your child. With a national network of state and local chapters, the American Council of the Blind can make sure that you meet the people who understand blindness. We will ensure that your child meets blind people who have succeeded in getting their education and who work as lawyers, teachers, automobile mechanics, and in virtually every other profession. For more information or a membership application, call 800-424-8666 or contact us online at www.acb.org. The American Council of the Blind, forging new frontiers for our future.
The Association of Blind Citizens, ABC, offers a variety of programs that enrich the lives of the blind and visually impaired community across the nation. From assistive technology funding programs designed to lower the cost of assistive technology by 50%, to college scholarships, to Braille book productions, the Association of Blind Citizens is creating opportunity one step at a time. More information is available at www.blindcitizens.org. The Association of Blind Citizens is a proud sponsor of this year's 43rd American Council of the Blind Convention in Birmingham, Alabama.
America Online is proud to support ACB radio coverage of the 43rd Annual Convention of the American Council of the Blind. Check out AOL's new Netscape Internet service at only $9.95 per month with unlimited dial-up access. Netscape is just the net you need. Designed with accessibility considerations in mind, Netscape Internet Service offers people with disabilities a low-cost and reliable way to get online. Features like webmail and email support for standard POP3 email software like Outlook Express, plus convenient access to news, weather, and financial information from the Netscape homepage are just a few benefits of the Netscape Internet service. More information can be found on the web at www.getnetscape.com. You've got access at AOL. Find out more at www.aol.com/accessibility or at AOL keyword accessibility.
Hello and a very good evening from the Birmingham Jefferson Convention Complex in Birmingham, Alabama, where the time is approximately 7 p.m. and it is probably the penultimate day of convention, but convention could continue until Saturday, but we'll deal with that in a moment. This broadcast this evening is the Candidates Forum. This is the opportunity for the people who are running for office to answer questions from the convention delegates and to make their case and try and convince people why they would be suitable candidates for the various positions. And we will get to the various positions throughout the evening. Jay Dowdner is going to be our compere and host this evening, and Jay will be joining you very shortly. Another long day at convention. We have to offer our apologies on behalf of the hotel or the internet, or who knows whose fault it was, but our internet connectivity this morning wasn't everything it could be, and regrettably we weren't able to bring you some of this morning's exciting coverage. We did bring you the vast majority of the session, but unfortunately at times we did lose internet connectivity, and that was a situation beyond our control. However, we are working very closely with the sound guys at convention who make the cassettes, the convention cassettes, which are available following the conference, and those guys have been tremendous, very, very helpful, and we are working to get all of that material together so that we can offer it on demand. We were hoping to do that today, but today's kind of run away with us, really, and we had to move the computer downstairs, and yours truly was summoned to the president's suite, and let's just turn that horrible man down. No, he's not a horrible man. That's Jay Downer. He's going to be our compere for this evening, and he's going to get proceedings underway very, very shortly. A reminder about what's going on tomorrow. Business as usual starting from 8:35 following the invocation. Of course, entertainment on air from 8 a.m. And hopefully we won't have a repeat of today's connectivity problems. Touch wood, he says. Let's keep everything crossed, eh? Then the business continuing throughout the day. Two sessions planned for tomorrow. The first from 8:30 to 12 p.m. and then another from 1 p.m. I think that's right. Check your programs for details. There seems to be a lack of Braille down here. I've been asking people, can we get a Braille program from somewhere? And I'm going to have to run back upstairs, I think, while the candidates forum are on and get a program. So as you can hear, Jay telling the assembled audience that we're just going to wait a few more moments for the audience to settle down and for a few more people to arrive. A lot of interest in this event this evening. Of course, ACB, a lot of politics to resolve, and I think today was a moral victory for the president, who won 77% of the vote. I think it was something of that nature. 77% of the vote. To defeat the resolution which had been proposed, which would have meant a presidential recall. However, the resolution was defeated today by about 77% of the vote. Just going to say hello to the host and compere this evening, Mr. Jay Downer.
Hi there. Hello, everybody. Hello, world.
There we go. Jay Downer live on ACB Radio Mainstream. Are you looking forward to tonight, Jay?
I think it's one of this. I've been doing this now for 7 years. I think this is my seventh year in doing this. It's always a challenge because one of the things we want to do is we want to make sure that the candidates get an opportunity to say what they really want to say. For some people, even though they've been to caucuses, they've gone and spoken to the various groups, the various states, they still want to make sure that people understand what they're going to be like under the firing line, so to speak, when questions are really asked. So it's a challenge for the candidates. They don't know what questions are going to be asked. In fact, I didn't know the questions until about an hour ago when I got them. We did collect questions from the question box that we had out in the information desk. There we got more than a dozen questions turned in, seven or eight of which we felt were appropriate. Some of them duplicated the questions which we had already planned.
Oh, well, that's encouraging. At least you know you're on the right track and you're speaking the same language as the other delegates.
That's right. Well, that's, I think, was the idea. We wanted to try to be as cross-section as we could. Yes. We're going to wait a couple of minutes, so you might just tell everybody that we're going to be starting a few minutes late because I know one or two of the candidates are not here yet.
Okay.
And also my timer's not here.
Okay.
So I'll be back to you in a couple minutes, Dave.
Excellent.
So
thank you very much.
We'll keep
us posted.
We'll be back.
Keep us posted. Excellent. Jay Downer, who's going to be our host and compere for this evening. Obviously, we want to make sure everybody's here before we begin. And the timer, the all-important timer, to make sure it's fair for everybody. We want to do that. And before we were rudely interrupted, I was telling you all about tomorrow. And tomorrow, of course, the two general sessions we're expecting and hoping to get business completed tomorrow. The big resolution really was that one today, and that will be available on demand. You'll be amazed at how exciting the debate was today. There was some very vociferous commentary both for and against that particular resolution, but ultimately the president coming through and taking 77% of the vote. So amazing stuff, really. Amazing stuff. A lot of people predicting that the president would be recalled and that all hell was going to let loose, really. And the resolution was defeated. But it's he's not out of the woods yet. I think there are a few more amendments and resolutions and things which we need to work through at convention. And you will hear that live on ACB Radio Mainstream starting tomorrow morning from 8:30 Central. That's 8:30 Central. Our coverage starts at 8, so that's 8 Central, which is, I believe, is 7 Eastern. Is it 7 Eastern? I'm really struggling with this this whole time deal now that I'm not on Universal time. Now I know how you guys feel. You can, of course, send your feedback, good and bad. We very much appreciate it. Try and keep it constructive, eh? Support at acbradio.org is the email address. That's support at acbradio.org. And if you're tuning in for the first time and you're wondering what the heck are you listening to, then you're tuned to ACB Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community, a service owned and operated by the American Council of the Blind, one of the largest consumer organizations of blind people in the United States. And this week we have been covering the 43rd annual convention from Birmingham, Alabama. And we've been in this lovely convention centre, the Birmingham Jefferson Convention Complex, which is connected to the Sheraton, which is situated just across the road by a skywalk, which you go up the stairs and across, and it's great. You don't have to go in that horrible humid heat, which it is out there. It's quite challenging, particularly if you're from a country which is as cold and as wet as mine is. You know, I'm really hoping that that Jay gets things underway fairly soon, because it's only so long I can keep talking. Once again, I'd like to offer our thanks to all the people that have made this possible. The volunteers here at convention, obviously the ACB Radio volunteers around the world, and those that have attended, and also the staff of ACB. Melanie Brunson, the executive director, Cynthia Towers, the convention coordinator, Carla Rusheville, the site selection coordinator. And she's obviously on the convention committee there. And then, as you heard, Jay Doudna, who's one of the sound guys, actually, he has other credentials as well, I'm sure, but I don't have that information to hand. But we might get another interview with Jay before the night is through. So I will ask more then. If you're listening over in the hotel, well, good on you. Order room service and kick back and enjoy some interesting talk over the next few hours. I know many people tune in from their rooms in the hotel. I was quite gratified the other night. A lady was telling me how she listened to me in bed. I thought that was lovely. She gets her wireless internet going on and switches us on in the morning and listens to the convention coverage from her bedroom in the hotel. So I hope ACB Radio isn't going to have an adverse effect on attendance in the general sessions. Well, we're just going to bring up the house here so you can just hear the sound of the crowd. There you go. You can hear people are gathering for the evening's proceedings.
Paul Edwards.
Oh, that was very loud. I have to tell him not to do that. And obviously, our ACB Radio interactive coverage now has concluded for the week. So the ACB Radio interactive coverage of the convention is now concluded from the exhibit hall. However, if the candidates forum isn't your thing, I understand that some of the guys are going to be congregating in one of the hotel rooms a little bit later on for the Steve Matsura's Underground and the Toonhead Music. I think the fun starts at 8 Central. So that's in just less than an hour from now. I don't have a mic stand this evening, so it's proving quite interesting to try and use the computer. 9 minutes after 7 p.m. here in Birmingham. Been another warm day, and a couple of storms around earlier in the week, but that seems to have settled down now, and we've really started to... get used to this climate, but back to the UK on Sunday. So tomorrow, probably the last day of convention. It may go to Saturday, and if it does, then we'll be starting on Saturday morning at the usual time, 8:30. So a lot of people obviously got flights planned for Saturday, and a lot of people hoping that the business doesn't continue on to Saturday, but the potential is there. Let's say that. The potential is there, so we're not ruling it out. Then, of course, tomorrow evening from this very room, starting around about 7 p.m., we have the ACB Convention Banquet. We're in room B, which is on the first floor of the Birmingham Jefferson Convention Complex, and room A is off to my left. There are some doors off to my left at right angles to me, directly to my left. Oh, the dogs have arrived. And the banquet taking place in here and next door. Now, I don't know if they're going to take out this wall, because a lot of these walls in these modern convention complexes, a lot of these walls are these sort of thin plywood kind of deals, and they can fold them away in a jiffy, you know, and open up a couple of rooms to make one huge room. So that's possible. I don't know what the plans are for that, but we'll keep you posted, and we'll let you know what they did with the configuration of the rooms tomorrow evening. And of course, we'll be taking the after dinner speeches following the banquet. Jay's rejoined us. Are we ready to get underway?
You say we're going to tape that speeches tomorrow night?
Oh yes, absolutely.
Well, I hope so, because we're going to have them available on cassette for anybody who wants them later.
There you go.
After we get them edited. Well, I think we're about ready to go.
Well, that's marvelous. Okay, thank you very much, Jay. Well, you're tuned to ACB Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community, and this is Thursday evening of convention week, and we're about to begin the candidates forum. I'm going to pass you over now to our host and compere for the evening, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jay Doudna.
Good evening, everybody. First of all, let me tell you all, we're live on ACB Radio. Well, we have everybody wants to, Dave, everybody wants to say hi. We'll do that. Well, let's get started. When I count three, everybody say hello to whoever you want to say hello to, okay? Are you ready? One, two, three. See that? Now everybody understood. That's very important. We had to get that done. Before we get started tonight, I thought I'd call on the chairman of the Board of Publications, Charlie Hodge, for a few brief remarks, and then we'll get started with tonight's candidates forum.
I'll drink my water.
Thank you very much, Jay, and I want to welcome everybody who is in attendance here tonight, and in particular, of course, the candidates for second vice president, for director seats, and for elected seats on the Board of Publications who have come tonight to try to inform us and enlighten us, and of course, to try to win our votes. I think it's very important that we have an open, participatory democracy in ACB. And as the chairman of the Board of Publications, the BOP, of course, is absolutely scrupulously neutral in these contested elections. We have, however, felt that it was important to serve a function of trying to inform our members, both here at the convention and even those who could not attend, through the hosting of the candidates' webpage. And for those candidates who did declare early, you have been able, throughout the country, to read their answers to the questions that the BOP presented, and all candidates answered the same question who are running for the same positions. I think tonight you'll have an opportunity to ask questions from the floor, and of course some people submitted questions to our question box, and I think our moderator will use some of those questions. I think it'll be an interesting evening. I know we're going to have lively contests tomorrow, and I just want to welcome everyone and say I hope this will be a fruitful evening for both for candidates and for those of you who may well still be undecided as to how you want to cast your votes on the floor tomorrow. Tomorrow, let's just be sure to inform all of our friends to come to the floor with your voting badges tomorrow so that your votes can be counted. And with that, I'll turn it over to Jay Doudna, who is a former appointed member of the Board of Publications, and for the last, at least 7 or 8 years, has been the moderator of these forums. So Jay is pretty experienced at these things, and I think he will direct us and we'll accomplish our purposes tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Charlie, for those kind words. He's putting the pressure on, wouldn't you say? Unfortunately, the assistive listening devices are not connected. We were unable to get them in here for this event tonight. I don't think I can bring that any lower, David. David's having a little trouble with the feed. Let me see. Try this. Try that, David. See if it's any better. Nothing like running the audio and emceeing the thing at the same time. Is that better, David? Okay, good. I found the right switch. Now, here's a couple of rules. The man back here in the back is saying what I have to say next. I wish I didn't have to say this, but this is not the general session. I've sat in the hallway for the past 14 years at the soundboard, but sometimes I go out and sit in the delegations, and I don't know why people come, because they spend time talking about everything else but the fine speakers that are up front. We can't have that tonight. Those of you that come here tonight have come to hear the candidates who are volunteering to donate their time to ACB. You need to give them your respect. So the first thing I want everybody to do is check your cell phones right now and turn them off. We can't do anything about those Braille watches, I'm sorry, or those talking watches. So make sure you turn your cell phone off. And also, if you think you're going to have a conversation with somebody, please get up now and leave. All right? Because that's not going to work. Here's the way we're going to do this. First of all, tonight, we're going to be hearing from the BOP candidates, the candidates for the Board of Publications. And we have five people who are running for the BOP. That's my questions. Where's my list? And there are three slots for this BOP. But here are the five candidates. Cindy Burgett, Ken Stewart, Gary Patterson, Mike Duke, and Deanna Noriega. They're the five candidates for the BOP. And for the next while, we haven't figured out exactly how long we're going to go here. We'll just see how our timing is. We're going to be asking questions of the BOP candidates. So, first of all, the way the format will work, my timer this evening is my good friend from the great state of Florida, the president of the Florida Council of the Blind, and immediate past president of ACB, Mr. Paul Edwards. Paul is my timer. We're going to be doing this for one-minute statements, one-minute opening statements from each of the candidates, and then from there, we'll start with the questions. So, our first person to speak this evening is Cindy Burgett. Yes?
I will let you guys know when you have 15 seconds left.
Oh, thank you, Paul. That's good. Thank you, Paul. And I think the way you just heard, you could all hear Paul, right?
Yes.
Okay. So Paul doesn't need a mic. So he's going to say 15 seconds. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. That's why I got him to do it. He keeps me straight. So the first person to speak this evening is going to be Cindy Burgett for a one-minute opening statement. Cindy?
Thank you. My name is Cindy Burgett, and I am president of the Washington Council of the Blind. I desire to serve the American Council of the Blind through the Board of Publications. What I promise to all of you is to do my best in the role of a BOP member by exercising teamwork, proactiveness and clear thinking. I will guarantee to you that whether I know I don't know everything, but I am willing to learn, to educate myself, to inquire of others, and to make informed decisions. I will stand up for what I believe in, and I will work for the betterment of ACB and for all of its members, upholding its constitution. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Cindy. Our next candidate is Ken Stewart.
Yes, this is Ken Stewart, and I am completing a term of two-year term. I was elected in 2000 for the first time. Looking forward to serving another term on the Board of Publications. I think I can bring to it my experience from these very important first 2 years, learning my professional life as a mediator, an arbitrator, an administrative law judge, and lots of experience with professional writing also, and a deep interest in many issues that we all share in the blind community, such as advocacy for the built environment. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ken. Sitting to Ken's left is Gary Patterson. Gary.
Good evening, folks. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I am currently the treasurer of the Braille Revival League. I'm the vice president of the Iowa affiliate of ACB. My interest in the Board of Publications is to be a part of providing information through the Braille Forum and other means. I'm for trying to self-manage our finances for the Braille Forum and the like through the personal giving, etc. I'm probably an information provider. I'm not a writer. I can, but I haven't been. But anyway, that's me in a nutshell. So, thanks.
Hi, Gary. Our next candidate is Mike Duke. Mike?
Good evening. I am vice president of the Jackson chapter of Mississippi Council of the Blind and also vice president of ACB Radio Amateurs, a small but quite vocal sometimes, at least on the radio, special interest group within ACB. Oh, okay. And I am seeking my third term on the Board of Publications, elected first in Louisville in 2000. The Braille Forum is the most important membership tool that we have in terms of communicating with our members. And it is the only tangible membership benefit that a lot of our members ever see. Therefore, we must make our magazine more member-oriented and strive to use it to its greatest effectiveness for our membership.
All right, Mike, thanks. Next, Deanna Noriega.
I am Deanna Quietwater Noriega. If you've seen my name on the list, you know that I always leave my email at the bottom, so if you want to yell at me, you can do so in person off list. One of the things that I think that ACB needs is information, clarity. I don't believe we need to micromanage our publications, but we do need to make sure that there is courtesy and intelligent discussion, because when people get off the subject and get heated, often the whole point gets lost. I'm a good negotiator, a good mediator. I'm a thoughtful thinker. And although water is a very soft element, and my great-grandmother named me Quiet Water, it's also a very persistent element. It can make a stalactite or the Grand Canyon. So I am a writer. I have written ever since I could read print at age 3. I think my first story was about a mouse who needed a tail to go to a ball and had to climb up a giraffe to get it out of the rainbow.
Time. All right, so you've heard opening statements from our candidates, and now I have some questions that have been submitted to the information room. What are we calling that? Communications Center. Thank you. Yes. I'm still back in the press room. The Communications Center, and here's the first one. What experience have you had in your state or special interest affiliate that prepares you for the position you are seeking? We'll ask Cindy Burgett. Oh, I'll tell you here. Now, this will be a two-minute, maximum of two-minute answer. Will you give them something at 1:45, Paul? Okay. 1:45, you'll get...
I'll give them something at 1:30.
1:30, right. You'll know when you have 30 seconds. So, you have the question?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. The last 2 years, I was convention coordinator for WCB, and in that capacity, I put together our bulletin, I put together our program, and our exhibitors list, helped draft letters, and so I believe that formatting and making sure that the kind of information that we were providing was appropriate and balanced. I've written for our newsletter, the Newsline, for the past few years, of course, as convention coordinator, also as a chapter representative, now as president. I have a regular column. I've put together, off and on for the majority of the last 18 years, our annual newsletter for our local chapter. I have sat on a Newsline committee editorial committee meeting when they were working on the actual Newsline and putting it together, and sat through that process and am available to do that again in the future. And I believe that I was able to be an asset not only with some constructive assistance with punctuation and that kind of thing, but I also believe that they included me, and even when I'm not sitting on the committee, for things that might be provided in that issue, especially now that I am president. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Let's go next to Ken Stewart.
Thank you very much. I am the immediate past president of a special interest affiliate, CCLVI, and CCLVI publishes a quarterly magazine, The Vision Access. During my tenure as president, we dealt with and struggled with many of the very same issues that we've been dealing with on the Board of Publications related to putting out a quality journal to our readership. And those issues and concerns include financial, how much it costs to put it out and how to fund it, encouraging donations for it, figuring out the best economics in terms of the various formats. I proposed looking into corporate sponsorship too, how to find new funding sources for the magazine so we could keep it up at its usual frequency and quality. We also struggled with questions about sending out various different formats and encouraging people to use formats that are better, quicker to produce, cheaper to produce, and even the scheduling of the various formats to me has always been an important issue, and we've talked about it in the Board of Publications too, so that we minimize the inequities in terms of who receives which format of the magazine when, and I think that's something that's very important for us to attend to with the Braille form as we did with the Vision Access. Of course, I also took a great interest in the quality of the material in the magazine and how it was organized, and I still do, and I was a member since I've been become immediate past president. I've also been active as one member of our publications committee, and that committee also has been dealing with the brochure of our organization, getting our message out to the world about low vision and what we can contribute and how we can help. And I think that's very important, too, for ACB generally, so that's been useful to me, too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Or thank you very much, Ken. Our next speaker is Gary. Gary Patterson. It's been a long time since we had the question, Gary. You still know what it is?
I believe so.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
All right. Most notably, or the lengthiest position and duty that I did, was producing the Braille newspaper here for the convention for 12 years. And I put in night and day on it, so I hope everybody liked the Braille presentation throughout those years. Right now, I'm managing and building the Iowa affiliate website. I've managed an email list, and it seems like it might be in the wind that perhaps a BRL group might have a web page. The one extra thing that really I guess I've kind of done on my own, I didn't realize that this guy that I was helping out would be one of the scholarship winners this year, but he had sent out a message saying he needed people to advocate for him to get his advanced math books in Braille versus recorded. And so I stayed up most of a couple of nights writing support letters for him and so forth. So I was real pleased that he was one of the scholarship winners. I'll probably think of five more things, but I think that's right offhand what I've contributed recently.
Thank you, Gary. Our next speaker to answer this question is Mike Duke.
Beginning in 1992, and for all but 3 years since, I have been the editor of the newsletter, quarterly newsletter, of the Mississippi Council of the Blind. That publication is produced not only in large print, but in Braille, cassette, email, and if somebody wants it on a computer disc, we can arrange for that too. The 3 years that I was not editing the publication since 1992, I was serving as state president and writing the president's column in the same newsletter. I also have contributed numerous audio reports in Playback magazine, have written letters to the editor of my local paper occasionally, and also letters to various amateur radio publications. In my professional business of my professional career of broadcasting and radio reading, I've served as a copywriter, developed and overseen the writing of promotional literature for my radio reading service, program schedules, etc. So I have quite a bit of that type of experience as well. And I guess that's mostly it.
Okay, Mike, thanks. And finally, Deanna Noriega.
Okay. I write as a means of clarifying my thought. So many of my pieces have appeared in the Braille Forum, in Dialogue Magazine, in other special interest newsletters, PawTrax, my state newsletters. But some of it has appeared in the mainstream. I did sell a piece recently to Angels on Earth, which is a subsidiary magazine to Guideposts. I've contributed to AFB publications, most recently a parenting book they were putting together. I'm currently working on a book called Swimming Up the Mainstream, which is going to be for a survival handbook for kids going to public school. And so anything that appeals to me, I tend to tackle it by writing. One of the first things I did when Chris became ACB president, he felt unable to continue as president of BRL. And I knew our membership would be confused and upset. Chris stopped me in the hall at the September board meeting and said, after convention, will you take it on? And I said, well, I am your first vice president, and that's part of the assumption when you take that role, is that if you got hit by a bus, I'd still have to do it. So I wrote a piece that was used in a literacy packet thereafter, describing my feeling about Braille. Whatever gifts I have, I'm willing to share with ACB, and I feel that my skills would be best used on the BOP.
Thank you, Deanna. I want to say hello to all our friends in ACB Radio who are listening tonight. If you just tuned in a few minutes ago and you're wondering what you're hearing, you're listening to live coverage of the Candidates Forum coming to you from Birmingham, Alabama, in Ballroom B of the Convention Center. We're all here, right, gang? And everybody's being a good audience and quiet and turn them cell phones off. Okay, we have the next question that came to us through the Communication Center. The suggestion has been made. Try to read this with one finger and hold the microphone at the same time. The suggestion has been made that all BOP meetings, including telephone conferences, be advertised in advance. How would you manage the attendance to be a manageable number, and how would these calls be financed? And this time we'll start with Mike Duke for that answer. Mike?
I didn't think he was going to do that. The Board of Publications has open meetings wherever possible. Traditionally, we have the ones here at convention and the ones at the mid-year board meeting that are open. When it comes to telephone conferences, those too should be as open as possible. Yes, I think they should be advertised to make people aware at least that we are indeed having a telephone conference meeting. Under our current telephone arrangement with Meeting Place, we, the Board of Publications, learned, and I might add learned the hard way, that there are certain limitations on that. We had an open meeting earlier this year that drew about 40 participants and just about put us way over budget with Meeting Place. Now, as to how to finance, how to control the access, that would bear some thought, and there has been some discussion of that, possibly rotating among affiliate presidents who wish to send a representative to it or something along that line. And as to how to finance it is right now almost anybody's guess. If I could answer all the how to finance questions around here, I would be running for a lot of things, I'm afraid. I really don't know at this point how we could finance it, but it's certainly something that we, I think, have to consider.
Okay, Mike, thanks. Let's go to Deanna next for the answer to this question.
One of the things that I'm currently serving as first vice president of GDY, what we do is we use a free site for our call-in, and everybody pays their own way. I've done this before with small nonprofits. When I founded Candle in the Window back in the 80s, we did it that way. Everyone on the board paid their own way to call in. I think if we wanted to extend this to the wider membership, if there is some concern about numbers and not having enough lines, then you could do it as an appointment to report back to the state affiliate, to the special interest affiliate. You could get the same kind of delegation that we have on the leadership list that each participant could send two members to the event. One of the ways we make it cheaper in GDY is that those that have unlimited calling, don't use anything other than their own phone service, those that don't have that capability, can't use their cell phone minutes or whatever to call into this non-support, not a 1-800 number. It's a regular phone number. We buy Sam's Club cards and we pass them out to board members, people that actually have to be there because they have to be part of the package deal. So I think there are ways to do it. It just takes a bit of creativity.
All right. Let's try this answer from Cindy. See what Cindy has to say about this.
Okay, boy, this is kind of interesting because I think we're all kind of on the same wavelength. I also agree it's a good idea. And I think that it would be nice if more people would show up to the ones that are held at mid-year and at the convention. There's seats and often not very full in the Board of Publications meetings. As for the conference calls, just as a room may have only so much seating and you can have, you know, only so many seats available, maybe the answer might be, and I don't know that there's any one right answer here. I think Deanna's and Mike's ideas were both good, too. I'm trying to come up with another perspective, and maybe it would be that if we used meeting place, that there might be limited space, and so say the first 20 people that got in, they would be on that call for that particular month or quarter. And then the others would not be allowed in. So there would be just so much room. I think that's an option. I think that we could also use the internet. There are conference rooms that you could get and people could be included that way. I don't know all the technical aspects of being able to allow people to listen in on the internet via conference call, but I'm sure that it's possible. So that would be just another suggestion, and I would encourage the more openness, the better. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Let's go next to Gary. See what Gary Patterson has to say about this one.
Boy, he's tricking us here, jumping all around. I guess, first of all, I would hope that those of us that are aspiring to and that will successfully make it on to the Board of Publications might assume and to pay, for instance, for the board meeting by phone, but then I would propose that each affiliate, if they so chose to designate a representative, and if at all possible for them to pay for the representative's fee for that phone call. But of course, then too, I would hope that the representative would make a report back to the affiliate. So once again, it's primarily based on our own financing as a good start on recouping deficit spending.
And finally, Ken Stewart.
Well, I think it's wondrous that I am the cleanup hitter on this question, because now I can confirm that we're unanimous on this issue, and this is one that's dear to my heart. There's no principle I cherish more than the openness of the processes of governing bodies, and for many months, and my colleagues on the Board of Publications will confirm, I think, that this has been one of the things I've been championing for quite a while, and I was delighted last December when we had others in on our teleconference. We don't know how it happened, but I was certainly pleased by it, and then at the mid-year meeting here in Birmingham, our Chair Charlie Hodge was very public to let everybody know that wanted to when we're going to have our next teleconference call. And as Mike says, we did have a lot of people calling in. It was a total of about 30 outsiders, and I was just so delighted that that happened. Afterwards, we learned that it was a scarce resource we were using, and I immediately, at the request of the chair, came up with a policy about how we could dole out the limited number of spaces, and that is manageable. There are practicalities in teleconferences, certainly. There's certain etiquette needs to be followed. People calling in and hanging up and so forth can be disruptive, so we need to develop some protocol on these teleconferences. But to me, there's nothing more important to ACB than to have decision makers making decisions in a transparent way where the membership can look over our shoulders at us. Thanks.
Okay, Ken, thank you very much. Well, as you know, time flies by here. We did start at 7:15, and I'm thinking in terms that this might go till 9:15, so we'd have our full 2 hours. But because of that, I want to make sure that we allow some audience participation. Here's what we're going to do. We have a limited number of people who can ask questions from the audience. I'm going to ask one more question. If you have a compelling, real burning desire to ask a question of the candidates for the BOP, please come out to the aisle and we'll take at least two of you. Sharon's going to watch. Sharon Lovering is going to watch and see how many who comes out first. But we're going to try to be very fair about this. But if 20 of you come out, we can't do that. But we'll try to be as fair as we can.
Come out to this aisle where I am here so we can, because everything seems to be working from this point, okay?
Okay, what I did was I just took the mic away so people knew where I was. All right, while you are coming out, just a couple of you, we're going to ask another question that came to us in the Communications Center. What is your position concerning minutes for BOP? Before I do that, the time's going to change. We're going to make this a one-minute answer, one-minute and 30-second answer, with Paul giving you 30 seconds. So we're taking away 30 of your seconds. So a total of 130. What is your position concerning minutes for BOP meetings? Who would have the responsibility for preparing them? And how should their distribution be financed? Everybody got that one? Okay. To answer this question first, we're going to go to Deanna Noriega.
And I thought you were a friend of mine. Okay. Finance is always an issue. It's an issue in any nonprofit, especially in hard times like this. But I think that the biggest and most successful way to handle any special project is to make an appeal on that behalf, because people are much more generous when they know where the money's going and what it's going to be used for. When I was landed in Samoa to teach in a school that didn't exist yet, I found it very easy to get people to buy specific things, but they didn't know this little Peace Corps girl from Adam, so why should they just hand money over randomly, not knowing whether I was going to buy a yacht with it or what? So that's what I believe about the finance part of it. And I'm running out of time, and my mind has gone blank. This is not, you know, campaigning is not really a campaign. It's more like an endurance run.
All right, Deanna. Let's go next to Cindy Burgett.
I believe that it is right for the BOP to provide minutes of all of their meetings. I think that's the right thing to do. I think that it holds everyone accountable, not only to the membership, but also to one another in remembering what took place during that meeting, to have a written document. Who would do it? I think that could be decided amongst the board and elected amongst the five people and assigned for a year. And how it could be financed, I think we shouldn't underestimate the use of email and our website, which would be of minimal cost. And then maybe the other portion, and I would recommend tape only, because I think that you can get that pretty inexpensively, be sent to those who request it, and I do think that we could get sponsorship for that, whether it be from another affiliate or from an outside source. Thank you.
All right, Cindy. Let's go to Mike Duke for that one.
If we call ourselves a board, and if we as a board make decisions that affect people's employment, then I think we have not much choice but to keep minutes. Now, we as a board of publications chose a while back to say that we would keep meeting notes. And I have to say we as a board of publications, because when the votes were done, that's the way it came out. And we as a board have been for the last few meetings keeping meeting notes. That, I understand, may change tomorrow. But I really do think that we should have some kind of clear, concise record of what went on that should be made available as reasonably as possible through either a website or through some accessible medium, usually tape, I think, is a good idea, or print. It could be done quickly that way. And the financing, it's not... Okay.
All right, Mike, thanks. Let's go next to Gary Patterson.
I still say he's tricking us. Okay, to answer the primary question, yes, I believe we could have minutes, although presently I am the recording secretary for the Des Moines chapter of the Iowa affiliate, and I keep them relatively brief, but yet I haven't found any problem with people saying that they think I'm leaving out things. So I think it can be done. The methods of distribution, once again, I think that we could utilize posting of these minutes both in audio, braille, and plain text files on the website, or perhaps if for some reason one or so of those are not able to be done, then people perhaps could subscribe to them. And I think that the members could, if they so chose, even take these minutes in a round-robin effect. So that's, I guess, my opinion.
Thanks, Gary. And finally, Ken Stewart.
Once again, I'm delighted to go last because I can observe again that we're unanimous on a very important principle to me, and that there should be minutes. The practicalities can be worked out once we all agree on that principle. Back in January, I did submit a very specific policy statement that I hoped my colleagues on the board would adopt, and it would go in our policy manual, talking about we would have minutes and they would be available to the membership. There are practicalities in terms of costs and clerical burdens, and I know they can be worked out. Gary hits on another point, and that is that sometimes minutes are not real. To me, minutes are basically a report of actions taken, and they can be very brief. The wording of the motion, who made it, who seconded it, and the results, and they don't have to be a lot more. So they don't have to be a major burden on the board. When we were doing minutes, we rotated them. I think that works just fine. At some point, the convention, in its wisdom, may create a position of elected secretary, and that's fine, too. So there are ways to work out the practicalities. It's great, though, that we all agree on the principle of having minutes. Thank you.
Hi, Ken. Thanks very much. And we do have a question from the audience, and so we'll take that question now. Hi, ma'am.
Hi. Oh God, that's close. Hi, this is Marlena Lieberg, and my question is, I'd like to know what each of you see as the role of the Board of Publications between the board and my first love at the national level, ACB Radio.
All right, we'll start with Deanna Noriega.
Okay, but if you put Ken Stewart last, I'm going to think you're biased.
It's not going to happen.
Okay.
Ouch.
I'm sorry. Could you restate the question?
Marlena, where'd you go?
Okay. It was Marlena's question. I'm not tracking really well. Marlena. I did not realize I had to be an Olympic athlete to do this.
She can repeat this one for you.
Thanks.
Okay, Paul, get ready to start again. Okay, Marlena.
I'm sorry. My question was, what do you see as the role between the Board of Publications and ACB Radio? What is the relationship?
At this time, I don't believe we have any constitution or bylaw authority over ACB radio. I've read it, and I've tried to figure out, I think as a means of public broadcast and public face of ACB, there is a ethical connection, because we want to make sure that things that go out reflect who ACB is, and that gives us a lot of latitude, because ACB is a lot of things, and it's a lot of different viewpoints, and it's a lot of different people. That's what makes us a democracy. I don't see that we are in a position to micromanage anything like that, because once we set policies in place, then you know what the guidelines are and what the rules are, and everybody can go and get done what they need to do. I may misunderstand what I've read, and certainly people can put me straight, but as someone who just prepared for this job by reading the People of Vision and then the Constitution and bylaws, I don't think the BOP was meant to do anything but set policies and guidelines. And if there is a problem, then we write a policy or guideline to handle it.
All right. Thanks, Deanna. Ken? How's that?
You must mean me. Thank you very much. To me, the answer is very easy, because Bylaw 7, which is the governing document for the Board of Publication, says very clearly in the beginning of it, it is the responsibility of the Board of Publications to have responsibility over, quote, all ACB communication formats. So that's the answer. Conference. He was present with us Saturday and reported to us. That does not mean that we're smart in all communication formats, and we do need to depend on others that have expertise. One of my graduate degrees is in public administration, and in public administration, there's a distinction made between policy-making functions and ministerial functions. We are the policy-making body. That doesn't mean we carry out things. It doesn't mean we need to know all the technicalities or, as somebody said earlier, micromanage. But we are responsible, whether we want it or not, for ACB radio. I'm glad we are, and I think that that's appropriate. It was wise for the Constitution bylaws to be written that way. Thank you.
Gary?
Okay, I believe the role of the Word Publications was said, to fulfill that bylaw for setting policy. But I would strive to communicate with Dave Williams or whoever the director is of the ACB radio to basically have a two-way communication. I'm sure that he and or the director of ACB radio gets communication, both positive and negative, about programming, and there's probably times that we might have suggestions for programming, but also be the two-way street of the director making suggestions as far as policy making, and then I guess if we felt like there were further policies needed to communicate with them. So I think it would be a very interactive participation between the Board of Publications and the ACB radio.
All right, thanks. And next, let's go to Cindy Burgett.
Since the Board of Publications is responsible for ACB radio, I believe that one key component is communication between the Board of Publications and its the director of ACB radio. I also believe that the Board of Publications needs to be kept aware of the type of broadcasting that takes place so that they can truly support it as one of the vehicles that they're responsible for. I also believe that if it's not fixed then if it's not broke, don't fix it. And so as long as things are working well, then that's a good thing. And when it's not, then that's when the Board of Publications needs to consult with the director of ACB Radio and investigate future policy setting if necessary. But again, I think that it's working well as it is, and that's a good thing. Thank you.
And finally, Mike Duke.
The Board of Publications, as has been mentioned numerous times already, is a policymaking body, and that includes our watch, includes ACB Radio. In fact, we had a discussion Sunday of the wording and of developing a disclaimer to air ahead of religious programming because of some questions that we have had brought to the Board of Publications over the simple fact that we have religious programming on our radio service, not the content necessarily of that programming, but the simple fact that we carry religious oriented programming. And so that's an example of one of the hands-on policy things that's work in progress. Dave Williams has done a really good job since coming on as director of communicating with the Board of Publications when either there was a problem or he thought there might be a problem. And as long as that type of communications continues, the problems will be held to a minimum. The most important thing that we as Board of Publications members can do, for goodness sakes, is listen to and utilize ACB Radio.
All right, thanks very much. I have one more question that came to the Communication Center, and I really felt this was a good one to pass along to all of you. This will be our final question. What types of articles should be included in the Braille Forum? And how do you propose getting them? What types of articles, if any, should be excluded? Got the question? All right. The first person to answer this one will be Gary Patterson.
I knew it. Okay. I think there should be a balance. Now, how to define a balance of informative articles? Even down to the here and there and the high-tech swap shop. But I think, of course, we should probably primarily have articles telling about upcoming legislative challenges and of how to, or what, you know, what has transpired legislatively. Another thing that I've always thought would be nice is to have a how-to type articles, like how does one track congressional legislation concerning blind folks? How do we get that type of articles? Just advertise, I guess. Let the word be out to folks we're open for articles. Exclude.
Should be a mix of many things. It should reflect what's going on a national level with ACB, legislation concerning blind people, and other activities. It should reflect activities within our affiliates within ACB. It should have informational articles and articles of human interest,
And I think that there's that the one element that they should have is that they should be blindness related. And I think that even religious type articles, crude or defame people. I think that we need to be careful about that type of article. I think that we could share quarterly newsletters or newsletters of affiliates. I wish there could be a way that we could share that with one another and make sure that quarterly newsletters or newsletters of affiliates are sent in to the editor.
She's learning, folks. Boy, I didn't even do it that good when I was in radio. Ken Stewart.
Thank you. I believe that the best source of decision-making in terms of the content and types of content in any publication is its readership. The Braille form is received by 25,550 approximately subscribers. I think that's where we need to go for answers to the questions of what they want. We do get some input. The editor does get responses, and from time to time I think it's very important for the Board of Publications to tune into that feedback. I was very pleased to see that one of the roadmap sessions this week was about the Braille form. I was lucky enough to be able to be available to sit in on that, and we did get some very specific ideas. It's pretty tough for five or however many people are on the Board of Publications of the Future to know. That's where you start with the readership. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Mike Duke.
This is ACB Radio Mainstream. The interference you're hearing is coming from our feed from the house, and we're being advised that there is an electrical storm in progress, and that may be partially responsible. I am pursuing this issue with the sound guys, but as we mentioned at the top of the program, it's actually Jay Davner who is working the sound and comparing the forum this evening.
For a later time. As far as anything that very low priority placed on the reprinting of material from other publications.
Sorts of things, and so I do enjoy the articles about things that I've never attempted or never thought of doing, and other people telling me about how to do them. I do enjoy informative, accurate information, so that and presentation of both sides of a question, so that I can make my own decision. What I would like to exclude, though, is anything that is stated in such a way that it only increases antipathy, anger, and distrust. Because when you get to that point, you're not listening to what's being said anymore, and you're missing the point. You're just making a lot of hot air and stirring things up. So I don't like it when I see personal attacks, discourtesy in any form.
Right, Deanna, thank you very much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the end of the BOP portion of our candidates forum this evening. I hope that you've all found this first portion very informative to the members of who are here tonight and to all of you who are listening around the world on ACB Radio. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have the board of public. We'll have the board, the ACB board candidates. They'll be next.
ACB Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community. And once again, we offer our sincere apologies. The interference that we're getting, the loud buzzing noise that you can hear, that is coming from the house. We did run some tests before going to air today, and we didn't see that at all. Although we have been made aware that there is an electrical storm in progress at the moment, and that may be part of the reason why we're getting some interference. One or two people reporting that some of the lights have been flickering, which may be related to the electrical storm too. So we're going to stay obviously with the candidates forum this evening. Some very interesting material there in the first section. Obviously, some of that relevant to ACB Radio. Our very own Marlena Lieberg posing the question there: what would the candidates see as being the relationship between ACB Radio and the Board of Publications? And I think the key thing that came through from most of the candidates was that communication was very important, two-way direct communication between the director of ACB Radio and the Board of Publications. And of course, Mike Duke, I believe it was, pointing out that that there was in fact work in progress, ongoing work, so to point out that there was communication in fact between the director of ACB Radio and the Board of Publications. If you're just joining us, this is ACB Radio Mainstream. I'm Dave Williams. A very good evening from Birmingham, Alabama. We're on the first floor of the Birmingham Jefferson Convention Complex in Birmingham, Alabama. And our compere this evening is Mr. Jay Downer.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Jay
we are going
is also
to resume at 20 after.
Working on the
couple of
sound.
Us, we'll be leaving to.
We perhaps will try
go to the
and,
bathroom, but we'll be back.
You can just hear there, Jay's announcing his
listen,
visit to the
is
bathroom
all in the fairness
to,
of openness,
to the audience.
You know what I mean?
In the interests of openness and sharing information. I have to say, actually, in the interest of openness, on Sunday I attended the Board of Publications meeting, and there was quite a bit of noise coming from outside, and somebody requested that the doors be closed, and we attempted to do that, but in fact the doors had been chained open, so that's certainly taking openness to a new level. I don't have a mic stand this evening, so we're having fun trying to use the computer and talk to you at the same time. It's now 13 minutes after 8 p.m. And if we can just stand up here. Hello there. Good evening.
Hello,
you're live on
Marlena.
ACB Radio.
It's Marlena
Lieberg. Hello.
Hello.
Just come to the table. Here's the microphone. Now then, Marlena, you put a very interesting question forward there in the first section. You asked about what the relationship should be between the Board of Publications and ACB Radio. Were you satisfied with the responses you heard?
Yeah, pretty much, but I was disappointed that one of our candidates wasn't aware that there was a relationship. I guess I was hoping that... sorry, I just ran over here. I do a lot of running at these conventions, guys. I guess I was hoping to hear that the board felt that... part of its responsibility was to help ACB Radio to continue to grow and continue to develop diverse programming. So in my role with ACB Radio and in any way that I can help the board to see that as a need that at least I perceive, I hope to help to make them aware of that. I'm hanging on.
I've found another microphone.
Oh, dear.
So we've both got microphones now. There you go.
All
that's
right.
Better. Excellent. Thank you very much. So what else in the first section there drew your attention?
Let's see. Actually, I thought they were very good questions.
Uh-huh.
I gather you've told the listeners how the questions have been submitted.
I think Jay did that, in fact,
yeah.
at the beginning of the forum this evening.
Yeah, and I was quite happy to hear some of the questions, particularly the question about what sort of articles do you feel should and shouldn't be submitted to the Braille Forum.
Okay.
I think that's a very important thing to consider. And I was basically pleased with all of the answers.
Excellent.
I felt that some people perhaps could have been a little stronger with their desire to see a balanced, diverse publication, but I really do believe that was in the heart of everyone who answered.
Okay. There's a gentleman just joined us at the end of the table, just around to your right, I believe.
Hello.
Do you want to share your microphone, Marlena?
Yes, sir, I have it.
Hello there, sir.
Hello.
With whom am I speaking and from where are you calling?
Wait, that's my line.
My name is Joe Ott, and I am local chapter president of the Great Third Birmingham chapter of the Alabama Council.
Well, hello, and I have to say I've felt very welcome in Birmingham, and that's thanks to all you great local people down here.
Do you enjoy our food?
Yes, it's a little bit different to what I'm used to, but it's certainly been interesting.
Yes, I hope we made you feel at home.
Actually, I went out to a local restaurant. I think it was called Dreamland the other night and had ribs.
How'd you like ribs?
Which was very nice indeed. Very nice indeed.
I gotta say ribs.
I
gotta say ribs. Okay.
That's right. Teach that Brit how to say it.
Okay, so Joe, you said your name was, sir?
Yes,
was
sir.
That right? So, Joe, you've here in the candidates forum this evening. What are your impressions of the first section there, the candidates for the Board of Publications? What are your feelings about the various responses and questions that we've heard this evening?
I thought they were very well prepared. I mean, I know they didn't have time to prepare them, but they organized things very well, seems like to me. Now, of course, Ken Stewart had the advantage there for a while. He was last. But overall, I was very impressed with all the candidates.
And what are you expecting in the next section, the directors? Is it the directors, Marlena?
I think it's going to be even more interesting. I think we'll have a lot of discussion.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how long this will last, but...
Yeah, I think it's saying about 9:15 we're expecting proceedings to finish this evening.
But it was great, and I'm looking forward to this one. You know, our state president is running for the board, David Trott.
David Trott.
He's our state president.
He is indeed, and he, of course, David Trott, those of you who've been listening to the coverage on ACB Radio Mainstream in the mornings of the general sessions, David Trott doing the door prizes, of course.
Yes, sir.
Yes, he has. And he seems to be quite popular, doesn't he, David Trott?
He's running for the board of directors.
I believe so. And who else is running for the board of directors? Do we know?
Cindy. I mean, not Cindy.
You're a little bit off the mic, John.
Becky. I can't remember her last name there, sir. Becky Floyd. Y'all help me.
Becky Floyd. Now, there are so many of them.
Yeah.
Teddy Joy Rumhill. Becky's from Mississippi. Teddy Joy's from California. Mitch Pomerantz is running for his seat as second vice president in California. Doc Bradley from Texas. I'm running out. There's more. There's like 14 of them.
Well, I'm sure Jay will introduce them all.
Hugh Towers.
Hugh Towers, our very own convention coordinator.
Coordinator from the great state of Washington.
Oh, I wonder who else is from there.
Yeah.
Now, is the board guy with us?
Yes, but he just went off somewhere.
Oh, he did?
Oh, no, there he is.
There he is. Okay.
Let me do this one. Thank you for taking time for me.
That's great, Joe. And did you want to say hello to anybody on ACB Radio since you're here?
All right. Good afternoon, Shane Jackson. I hope you're listening.
There we go. There we go.
I do. Okay. He just got married.
If you pass that microphone back over there to the board guy, let's say hello to the board guy. Hello, board guy.
Oh, hello there. How are you?
How you doing, sir? Yes, I'm very well. I'm harassed, but I'm okay. I'm okay. What did you make your first convention?
I'm ready to pack it.
You're ready to go home. So you don't fancy wheeling on around here and working this board for me?
Yeah, it goes through about 2.5 sets of batteries a day that saves my poor old shoulders, but yeah, we keep recharging them.
Okay, you don't fancy coming around here and working the board for us, no?
Oh, I could make a fine mess for you. Yeah.
This should look very familiar, this board, in fact.
It does. It does. It looks extremely familiar.
Extremely familiar. It's not. It's not yours, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, this is Steve Matsura very kindly lent it to us this evening to help us fix a little problem we were having, and it also means that we're able to use the better quality microphones. So we're quite pleased about that. So, what did you make of the candidates forum this evening, Gary? Was there anything that really jumped out at you that grabbed your attention?
Well, I'm new at this, and I'm still learning the ropes.
So am I. Don't worry. Hey, that makes two of us.
So it was interesting for me to see the variance in the answer.
Yes.
And then try to put it into context with what I understand, which is very little. So I think I figured out the way I want to vote tomorrow, but I think I actually have it in context, but we'll see.
Okay. Okay, and tomorrow, of course, the voting, which we'll be carrying live on ACB Radio Mainstream during the general sessions, which starts. Our coverage starts at 8 a.m. My goodness, 8 a.m. And I've got
to get up again.
I do have to get up again. It's been 6:30 starts all week, and you know, it takes its toll. I've aged about 10 years this week.
And of course, we'll be up until 12 or 1 o'clock today. Right?
Well, quite probably. Yeah. By the time I finished here, I'm going to got some dinner and a little light refreshment. You know.
Yeah, let's make it heavy tonight. What the heck?
Yeah, let's hit the scotch again.
Sounds like we need to get our seats here, so I'm going to head back.
Okay, I think Jay's about to resume, so I will just...
Best of luck to everyone on ACB Radio. Thank you for listening.
There we go. Thank you, Marlena. Thank you very much for your participation. And I've got the wrong pot. There we go. That's better. Okay, can we...
Yeah.
Thank you very much. ACB Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community, coming to you live from the 43rd annual convention of the American Council of the Blind. I'm Dave Williams, and we're here on the first floor of the Birmingham Jefferson Convention Complex. And I have to say, this first floor business really got me when I first came to the US, because in the UK they call the first floor the ground floor, and then the next level up is the first floor. So I was for a while. I was a little bit lost. I was wandering around on the wrong floors, but we soon sorted that one out. A very good evening to you, wherever in the world you happen to be listening to us from. I know we have folks listening in Australia, where it is a Friday morning, I believe. Probably about Friday lunchtime, I would imagine, by now. The middle of the night over in Europe to where I will be returning on Sunday. And, of course, a Thursday evening here in North America. A very good evening to you if you're listening in North America. And a very special very good evening to you if you're listening over in the Sheraton. I think we're about to get underway. We're about to get underway, Jim?
That's right, we're ready for round number two. We're ready for our board members.
Did we fix that little problem we had, or do we still don't know what it is?
Well, we still don't really know what it is, but we did find out from a couple of sources that there was a major electrical storm going on outside during the first portion of this tonight. And I did notice, you know, they have these great big chandeliers in the, you know, these places, and I did notice the chandeliers blink once or twice.
Okay.
And I really think that's what it was.
Okay.
So if you guys are hearing that humming, there isn't very much more we can do. We
turned really
the plug around the other way like we're supposed to do. But that didn't work. So bear with the hum, but we're ready to go.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. ACB Radio Mainstream. I'm Dave Williams, and stay tuned now for the second section of tonight's Candidates Forum. I'm going to hand you back to our host and compere for the evening, Mr. Jay Downey.
Good evening, everybody, and we're back live on ACB Radio. Ready for part two of tonight's candidate forum. First of all, I want to say that I was told by a couple of people that there are some people listening out there on ACB Radio that one couple we probably want to recognize. Tonight there's probably others we could recognize. We know that Pat and Marvin Price are listening this evening, and some of you know Pat and Marvin. And probably, if I miss my guest, Jim Olson's probably tuned in tonight, too. So, Jim, we want you to know that our thoughts and prayers are with you, and we're glad to hear from Cynthia that that your recovery is improving. Jim and I share what's an improving recovery. Thank you, Paul. Explain that later. Jim and I do share something in common in that we both have had heart bypasses, and so we've always commiserated every time we've seen each other. So, Jim, we're thinking of you, and our thoughts and prayers are with you. Okay, the same rules apply as before. If you turned your cell phone on to make a phone call, please turn them off. And if you do want to have conversation, you've had enough time to do that, so please don't converse. So, yeah, that's right. Please shut up. I shouldn't be sitting next to Paul. Remember that? Remember that show back in the old days? You used to have the guy who said, what was that, Smiley? He used to talk all the time. He'd say stuff under his breath, and the reporter would repeat it. What was the name of that show? Can't remember. But anyway, let's go on.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, here's the list of candidates this evening who... This is very serious business. Will you guys settle down now? Here's a list of candidates who are before us this evening up on the platform. This is Ed Bradley, David Trott, Cynthia Towers, Oral Miller...
No.
Nope. Rebecca Floyd. Oral Miller. My finger slipped. Arlene Cohen, Naomi Sewell, Teddy Joy,
Rem Hild.
Yep, and Mitch Pomerantz. The way we're going to do this is we're going to open with 1 minute statements from each one of these candidates. And Paul is, how about 45 seconds, Paul? Okay. So he says that's the deal. That's a good deal for me then. So we're going to give each candidate a 45-minute opening statement. A 1 minute opening statement.
All right. Yes.
We'll be here a while.
I didn't tell you this was an all-night affair. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
Okay, enough of this ad-libbing now. Let's get serious. Here we go.
Not letting you go to the bathroom.
I think I'm going to move this whole thing away from Paul. Blame the timekeeper. That's right. Okay, for a one-minute statement, here's Mr. Dr. Ed Bradley.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to come before you tonight to ask you to support me for the candidacy for the Board of Directors of ACB. I humbly thank you for having given me the opportunity to serve you the past 4 years, and I hope you'll give me that opportunity again. I'm an experienced person in many ways, as far as I've been a practicing chiropractor, had my own business for 26 years. I've been on boards. I'm on the Lighthouse Board, the Houston Taping for the Blind. I've been on the National Baseball Association Board and president of that. I can't tell you how many different boards I've been on. We don't have time for all that. But I am an ACB person.
15 seconds.
I have always put ACB first, and I always will, and I am not a yes person to nobody. Thank you.
Just so you know, what I'm going to do here is go down the row as I announced them earlier, so there's no secret here. We're just going to go down, so Teddy Joy will be the last person in the board slot, and then I'm going to have Mitch say something too. I said Teddy Joe will be the last person in the board slot, and then Mitch is running for second vice president. So our next person then will be David Trott.
I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak here tonight, and I'm a longtime member of ACB. I have a love for ACB, and electing me to the board would be electing someone who would work hard for ACB. I have proven that in my work for the Alabama Council of the Blind for some 28 years. I want to work and move forward with some of the things that I've spoke to each one of you about in the caucuses, and I just appreciate the opportunity of being here and being able to answer your questions here tonight.
Okay, David, thanks. Next is Cynthia Towers.
Good evening. Good evening. My name is Cynthia Towers, and I'm running for a board seat that I've had for the past 5 months, a board seat that I was elected to at mid-year when it was vacated. I am a returnee to the board, having been your national secretary for 6 years. I teach 7th grade math to approximately 150 students each day. That gives me attention to detail. I am a strong advocate for education, and so would work diligently in the areas of education, and I've talked at the caucuses and with Pat Schreck about the ACB store and strengthening that and making that the best it can be. Thank you.
All right, Cynthia, thanks. Next, let's hear from Rebecca Floyd.
My name is Becky Floyd. I'm president of Mississippi Council of the Blind, and I'm running for an ACB board position. I would appreciate your support. I am an independent thinker. I have friends on the board, as I've told many of you in the caucuses, but my job has been negotiating, mediating, resolving conflicts for the past 24 years. And I hope to be able to do that on the ACB board, and certainly I will be able to vote with someone one day and vote against them the next, or within the next minute or so. I really would like to serve on the board and lend what little expertise I might have gained over the past few years in budgeting and grant writing and a lot of things like that that I think ACB might benefit from.
Time.
Thank you.
Now let's hear from Oral Miller.
Thank you very much. My name is Oral Miller. By profession, I'm an attorney, and I live in Washington, D.C. I've been involved with the American Council for a long time, and have held various positions, and I'm now the president of the District of Columbia Council of the Blind. I think my experience in ACB, as well as in a number of other organizations in the blindness field, some domestic and some with an international flavor, would give me the experience, the knowledge, and the perspective, especially the knowledge as to the way some other organizations operate, to be able to deal with many of the difficult problems we're having to deal with in ACB. And some of those are the 3 M's, not the company in Minnesota that makes the Scotch tape, but money, management, and membership. Thank you. We'll discuss more of those later.
Thanks, Oral. Arlene Cohen.
I think I'm going to have to grow. The microphone is pretty high. My name is Arlene Cohn. I come from Ohio. I've served ACB Ohio for the last 18 years. I am now serving in my last term as president of ACB Ohio. During my 4-year term, we have increased our membership by 40%. We started out with 6 chapters, and now we are up to 11. With the hope of maybe getting 2 more by next year. We have been working very hard in Ohio. We have a very dedicated board and board members and executive director, and we now have $1 million in an endowment if the stock market is good to us. And we also give out $13,000 a year in scholarships to young people in Ohio going to college. And we do support our young people because they are our future. Thank you.
right, thanks. Next, Naomi Sewell.
I just want to thank everyone for giving me the opportunity this week to tell you about myself. I am excited about running for the board. I'm from Missouri, and I have a lot of experience in management, board experience, and on nonprofits. I also have great interest in rehabilitation issues and transportation issues. I do a lot regarding transportation in the St. Louis area. I serve as vice chair of the Governor's Council on Disability. I'm also chair of our reading service, radio reading service board, and so I have a lot of diverse experience professionally. I've worked for IBM for 11 and a half years in personnel and marketing. I have a degree in broadcasting and communications, so I have a lot of experience in marketing. And I also have 9 years of management experience. So I have a lot that I can bring to the board. So thank you very much.
Next, let's hear from Teddy Joy Remhild.
Good evening. It's wonderful to be here tonight, and I'm really excited about this experience. My name is Teddy Joy Remhild. I don't have the experience in years that my colleagues have mentioned before me, but my commitment is just as strong and as passionate. And I am willing. I've been accused of having diagnoses of being an obsessive compulsive overachiever and a workaholic. So I would like to take these diagnoses and donate them to ACB in full force. I am the founding president of an affiliate, one of the newer affiliates of ACB, the Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss. And
10 seconds.
I have been with the California Council of the Blind for 13 years and worked hard for them on all their committees and their board of directors. Thank you.
Thank you. Now let's hear from Mitch Pomerantz.
Thank you. I am running for the position of second vice president, which is one of the most important leadership positions in this organization. I am completing 20 years in the American Council of the Blind and 4 years on the board of directors. During that time, I have tried to demonstrate my leadership through my commitment and dedication, basically setting an example, and by conveying my vision of what this organization should be and is, the only true advocacy organization of blind persons in this country. I want to be your second vice president. I want the opportunity to continue that commitment and dedication and vision and help lead this organization to its future. Thank you.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, those are the one-minute opening statements from our candidates for the board of directors of ACB Radio, or of ACB.
Whatever.
All right, you don't have to laugh at every mistake I make.
I know where the next question is coming from. What is going to be?
Okay, somebody said, Paul said we'll do every other one. Okay. Oh, it was Chris Prentice. I'm sorry, I'm getting them mixed up. I have a heckler's to my right.
Up before you got us.
That's true. All right. So now we're going to go to the questions that came to the Communication Center. Here's the first question. Here it is. Here we go. Okay, here we go. I finally found it with this thing. What steps will you take if you are elected to the board of directors during your first 100 days to help heal the wounds and move on? And move on and bring ACB forward. Let's start with...
How much time,
Jay? Sorry. Each one of these questions will be... Thank you, Paul. Each one of these questions will be 1 minute, so answers will be 1 minute, and we'll do them 45 seconds, and then you'll get that 15-second warning.
No problem.
Does everybody have the question? All right, let's take our first person, Ed Bradley.
two? The first step that I would take would be to suggest that we as a board meet together with no one else there as a retreat, as if you want to call it that, and sit down and leave our personalities out of there and honestly face each other and show each other the commitment that we should have and that we are having with ACB. I think that this would be the first step in healing some wounds, healing the board, and bringing us together to make us each feel better about each other's commitment and about each other in the job of being on this board.
All right, Ed, thanks very much. Next, let's go to the other end of the line and hear from Mitch Pomerantz. Mitch?
Okay. Thank you. I think the first steps that need to be taken, that I would take, is to remind the board and by example that we can agree to disagree in a civil, professional manner. We are a business. We are a corporation. We need to act in that manner. The second step I would take would be to outreach to the affiliates and to the members who have expressed serious concerns over the way the board of directors has operated, and to say to them, I will hear you, I will work to be a conduit to bring your views to the board of directors, to the officers and the president, and to attempt to do things better than we have done so far.
All right, Mitch, thanks. Let's go to David Trott.
I would seek to start to find some common ground where we could work together on and start building a healing relationship from that point and try to move forward, and also get out to the membership and let them know what we're doing as a cohesive unit, and that we are trying to move forward in the job of advocacy, because that's what we're there for.
Thank you. Let's go to Teddy Joy.
I think it's really important for us to listen to each other. So I like the idea of a collaborative meeting of listening to each other and coming together to, for the purpose of finding a common ground, as has been said. With that in mind, and with the purpose of collaborating and listening, I think we can come to agreement to seek to pursue the goals that we are all committed to achieving. I have done that in my own community as chair of the L.A. County Paratransit Service. I've gone from
15.
Community protester to chair of that governing board of directors, and I have learned to listen to my colleagues and to learn, not only to listen, but to learn from them and to grow with that experience. Thank you.
All right, next, let's hear from Cynthia Towers.
I remember sitting next to Steve Spiker at a dinner once, and we were just talking, and he told me that he sang Barbershop. I did not know that. Every time I hear Barbershop now, I think of Steve Spiker. I remember once sitting and talking to Brian Charlson, and I believe he told me that he collected mustards. And I remember bringing him some Walla Walla sweet mustard once from Washington State. I think that what we need to do is to get to know each other as people. I think we need to get to like each other. I was asked at a job interview once for a middle school, did I want my students to like me? I said, absolutely, because when you like somebody, you're more apt to work with them, to get better results, and your working relationship will be much stronger. I think that we should develop a book club like Oprah, and we could have a novel that we all read together. You think that this is all strange, but unless you get to a good working relationship, you will get nothing done. Thank you.
Next, let's go to Rebecca Floyd.
Thank you. I like some of Cynthia's ideas. but I am first and foremost a communicator. I
want to get to know the board members better on a personal level. I want to know what their interests are. I want to get to know the affiliates better, their presidents, and I hope that their presidents will represent their membership. I think we need to communicate as much as possible with the membership through their presidents or their designee. So that's one of the first things I would do, is to try to get out to people and make sure that they know who I am and that I'm working for them, the membership. Thank you.
Thank you. Naomi Sewell.
Okay, I am a team player. I think that in all of the things that I've done, people would say that about me. I'm also a good listener. And I hope that one thing that I've always liked about the board, there are people on the board that I've sought out or who've sought me out and have listened to me, and I would do the same. And you mentioned the first 100 days. I'm saying that I would continue this. I feel that it's very important for us to work together as a board and to move on. And I think the idea of us getting to know each other and to really respect, show respect for each other and for each other's opinions, and not to hold grudges and to make the decisions that we have to make for this organization in the best way that we can. Thank you.
Thanks. Next, Oral Miller.
This question obviously came from a historian of the New Deal. The famous first 100 days during which the banks were closed. The dynamics of a board that has any turnover, as this one obviously will be different from what those dynamics have been in the past. So it will be important for, I think, the board members to get to know one another, and perhaps that could be done through conducting an event of some sort that is as much a social event, I don't mean a game night necessarily, but something like that, that does let us get to know one another better. I'll mention also that what is referred to as some of the factionalism and so forth is not just on the board level, so let's keep that in mind. And ultimately, I would suggest a level of training of both board members and members and staff concerning best practices in management.
Thanks. Finally, Arlene Cohen.
I think that we need to open up lines of communication between the board members, between ourselves, between the affiliate presidents, and you, the membership. I think that we need to have communication from the bottom, and I really don't mean that in any detrimental way, up to the top. And I feel that that is the way a democracy works, and I know this organization is a democracy. I think that we need to listen very carefully to what everyone says, to hear, and to respect their opinions. We might not agree. We might disagree, but eventually, after a lot of discussion, we should come to some kind of agreement. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much. I think I got everybody in that round. We have a question that came in, and this is on an issue-related item. I was happy to see this one because I think it's something we haven't been talking about much. Not here this week, anyway. An effective rehabilitation system is essential in promoting independence for competitive employment for blind people. Please state your views on the following: informed choice in workshops as competitive closures and one-stop shopping. You all understand the question?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Then let's start. This time we'll go to the second person from the right up there up front, and we'll take David Trott.
Inborn choice is something that I'm used to, because I'm from a state that really pushes choice. I believe that if someone wants to be closed in a competitive work environment in a sheltered workshop, that should be possible. And I'm opposed to one-stop shopping because I don't feel like you get the best of anything from a one-stop shop. I think you ought to have the choice to get out and look and to make recommendations and form a program with your counselor, and you'd be able to work in a direction that both of you are happy with. Thank you.
Next, Cynthia Towers.
As a teacher of elementary and now middle school, I see a range of abilities every day, anywhere from children in my seventh grade class that can do math from the fourth grade level up through college. I feel that informed choice in competitive employment, in putting people in those type, in, if I understand the question correctly, in sheltered shops, may be for them the best place that they can be, where they can earn a living for themselves, for their families, and be the most independent that they can be. In terms of the one-stop shopping, I have to plead ignorance in that I'm not exactly sure what that question means. So I'm going to have to say that I'm going to have to pass on that one, but go back to the sheltered employment and say that that is not what I would not feel that would be a bad place for somebody to end up. Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia. Next, Rebecca Floyd.
I am certainly for informed choice. We have a couple of excellent workshops in Mississippi, and I have talked to people. In fact, I talked to our U.S. senator, one of our senators, recently about just this issue. I think we should be able to close these people and as a 26 closure if they want to work in sheltered employment. It's better than some competitive employment that they may receive. I am certainly...
15 seconds.
This has been one of my big issues for the past couple of years, and I plan to work on it, and so far as Mississippi is concerned, with Joanne Wilson. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Next, Oral Miller.
Thank you. As far as having a choice is concerned, yes, I obviously favor that. Now, as a realistic matter, how many choices there are, how many times will a person have to make that choice with, let's say, a sheltered industry now compared with 30 years ago? That world is changing, too. But if a person, let me back up and say the rehab system should be pushed as much as possible to provide as many opportunities as possible so a person won't have to be in the position of making that choice. But if he has to, he should have that choice and have the freedom to make it. One-stop shopping, the blind don't fare well in that system. It's a poor system for the blind, and we avoid it.
Thank you, Oral. Next, Arlene Cohen.
I believe in informed choice. I believe that we should have the right and the choice to decide where we would like to work, whether it be in an integrated setting or in a setting that is a non-integrated setting. As long as we are working and we are employed, that is what is important. One-stop shops, as far as I know, are very, very difficult for those of us who are blind or visually impaired, especially in Ohio, because they are not accessible. They are not accessible to any disability, so therefore I don't believe in the one-stop shops. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Arlene. Naomi Sewell.
My VR counselors would love it to have workshop people who work in workshops as 26 closures. Work is work. That's what I say. One-stop shops, do not work. They are very ineffective, they don't work, and they're not accessible to blind individuals. And also, I feel that we should have some training to train presidents or their representatives in each state to teach you about the Rehab Act and to teach you about what you can do to make sure that informed choice is the utmost importance in your states, in your rehab systems, because that is starting to change.
Thanks. Okay. Teddy Joy.
Well, this is something I have some experience with. I've been working with a state steering committee in California on getting information out to people with disabilities about their options and their choices, and organized a steering committee in LA County to do the same thing, educating frontline staff professionals. I totally believe in informed choice with a big emphasis on informed. And I think that there are a variety of scenarios, and one can't generalize or paint everyone with one brush. But I do believe that expectations have a lot to do with what people achieve in life. I think one-stops, even though they're not accessible, need to be made accessible.
All right, Teddy Joy, thanks. Mitch?
The Rehabilitation Service Administration's policy, as spoken by Joanne Wilson, is dead wrong. There are places in this country where competitive employment is just not a viable option because there just isn't much in the way of industry in the area. One-stops, I've had some experience in Southern California. The rehabilitation agency, preferably a separate agency for the blind, is still the best place for a blind person to get training. However, there is a caveat. One-stops, whether we like it or not, are not going away. And what we have to do is what we have tried in California and Southern California to do, to try to make them accessible. They're not going away, folks, and we better work with them, not against them, because we're going to have to deal with them one way or the other.
Okay, Mitch, thanks. This time I'm going to do the same thing I did during the... Oh, sorry, I did. Thank you. My team is helping me. Ed?
Thank you. I've been forgotten before, but that's all right, Jay. Informed choice is something that I feel is not just important, but it is necessary for gainful employment to be meaningful to the blind community. You know, a person can go out there and get a job, but is it meaningful? And that, to me, is the most important factor in the work, is your job is meaningful to you, not to the rehab counselor or anybody else, but to you. As far as one-stop shops, they don't work very well for the sighted folks, because my wife used to work for the TWC in Texas, and it didn't work very well for them either. So I'm not for them, but we are facing that issue, and we are going to have to learn to adapt. Thank you.
Thanks, Ed. Didn't mean to forget you. All right, now here's what I did the last time for the BOP candidates. I asked if any of you, because I have questions here, we could go till midnight. So what I'd like to do, though, if any of you have a burning desire to ask a question, will you please come to this center aisle as you did before, and Sharon is going to watch and see who comes out first, and we'll try to take at least two or three people. I did say we'd end at 9:15. If the group feels like they want to go a little longer, we'll try to do that. So we'll just see how many people we get. So I'll start with this question. Oh, it looks like I see three.
Four.
Okay. I'll hold my question. And the first?
Right here.
This was the first person?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good. Okay, we have some questions from the floor now. and they're here in the order which they came up. So who are you, sir?
My name is Joe Otts.
Where are you from, Joe?
Birmingham, Alabama.
All right, Joe, what's your question for the candidates?
What do you see as the mission statement and the goals or visions for ACB, and how do you plan on implementing them in the next year, next years of your service?
All right, let's see. We'll start with Mitch Pomerantz.
The mission of the American Council of the Blind, I believe, is multifaceted. I think we have a responsibility to be the voice of reason as advocates for blind and visually impaired persons in this country. We have a responsibility as well to outreach to the percentage of the population, the largest percentage of the population who is losing their vision, people over the age of 55. Those are the people who need our help and our services and our mentoring very, very seriously, because many, if not most of them, aren't getting quality rehabilitation services. My goal 15. Is to serve as an advocate for those people and to serve as an advocate on Capitol Hill and around the country, and that's what we need to get our members to
Time.
Do. If I can help in that, I will.
Thank you, Mitch. Ed Doc Bradley.
The mission statement of ACB should be that we are improving tomorrow, today, for the blind of this country. That's a big chore, and it has an awful lot in it. But advocacy is one thing that we do need to have as our mission statement. I feel that if we strive hard to make sure that we do what is possible for us to do by our hard work to improve the things for the blind of this country and not lose what we've already gained.
15.
That's probably going to be the hardest chore we have, is to not lose what we've already gained. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Teddy Joy Remheld.
I think the mission statement for ACB is to represent the population of visually impaired and blind people in our country. And I think by the means of striving for access and options, I think equal access and options is the most important thing to anyone's life and to achieving quality of life for all of us. So we want the same access and options that are available to everyone in this country. I think that I try to do that in every opportunity that I have to be a role model and to advocate for people on a national level and a state
seconds.
And a community level on all the available services and programs that we all need to make our lives, increase the quality of our lives.
David Trott.
I believe our mission statement should be that we advocate for both educational and the economic well-being, economic and social well-being of all blind people in America.
Cynthia Towers.
I believe that our mission statement should be the statement that is printed on the front cover of your program, and that is, together, everyone achieves more. I believe that the board could take a stance of each one, take one. I've talked about my wanting to work for the ACB store. Oral has talked about the MMS program. Each one of us could take a project, take it on, and get back to the business of building this organization and making the lives better for blind and visually impaired people in this country.
All right. Rebecca Floyd.
ACB's mission should be to improve the lives of people who are blind and visually impaired. We can do that through advocacy, on the national level, through advocacy in Congress, through advocacy in education, technology, and in many other areas. We can also improve the lives of people who are blind and visually impaired by providing appropriate, useful information through the Braille Forum, ACB Radio, and other mediums. Thank you.
Thank you. Oral Miller.
The mission of ACB should be to serve as an advocacy vehicle on several levels, as a vehicle of the blind, for the people who are involved in ACB, but an advocacy vehicle for other blind people who perhaps will not be ACB members, but nevertheless need and would benefit from this assistance, from this representation. In addition, ACB should be a source of information and, yes, a resource for not only people who are losing their sight, such as the elderly, but also service providers and obviously governmental entities that are making regulations, laws, etc., affecting blind and visually impaired people.
Thanks. Arlene Cohen.
I believe that ACB's mission statement should be that we in ACB will advocate for to improve the lives of all blind or visually impaired people through education and through legislation and through public awareness and make blind and visually and through access of information and to help make people who are blind or visually impaired independent members of society. Thank you.
Finally, Naomi Sewell.
Well, I believe our mission statement should be to advocate for a diverse group of people who are blind in this organization and other blind individuals who might not have a voice, as well as to educate the public about ACB and all of the good things that we do. Thank you.
All right, thanks very much, Naomi. We have three people in the aisle here, and they're going to be the three people who are going to ask the final questions this evening. So I'm going to go to this person, and what is your name?
I'm Tara Wiseman from Salt Lake City, Utah. And my question is this. It seems like we get some folks in high leadership positions in the blind community that we're not so fond of. Take Joanne Wilson, for example. People seem to disagree with things that she does, sheltered workshops. And so my question for you who are running for the board of directors is what would you do as a member of the board of directors and what do you think we should do in ACB to get people in those types of positions that support our views?
You don't mean just Joanne Wilson, you mean other...
I mean other things. I mean like ACB supporters and directors, you know, as directors of agency for the blind.
Getting people to work on our kind of issues.
Right. Like, wouldn't it be cool if we had an ACB supporter as in Joanne Wilson's position?
Right. Yeah. There you go.
What can we do to get that?
Okay, we know the affiliation of that person. All right. So I think you got the... I think you have the idea, board members. Let's start this one. I'm anxious to hear this answer myself. Let's start with David Trott on this.
In the past, when this position has come available, though we have had qualified candidates who actually made more money and didn't want the position, so what we're going to have to do is probably bring somebody along to take that position, and we're going to have to start looking for them now because we do have a presidential election this year. And if it were to change, then that opportunity would come along now. So I would say that we would have to begin work on that immediately, and I think we should form a position paper and start looking for that type of person if that's what we want.
Oral?
I'm glad I got that question early. I suggested a number of years ago that we start preparing a list of candidates who are capable and who have enough experience to be considered at the level these various positions would require. Now, we live in a real political world, so we have to be aware that We'd have to maybe prepare two lists, depending on which way the political wind goes. And by all means, though, clear with these people to make sure they might be interested in, let's say, moving and so forth, because David has a good point. Some of them won't move, won't change. But let's start preparing that list and have a list ready at all times.
Thanks, Oral. Mitch? Mitch Pomerantz.
Aside from Oral's suggestion of developing a list, and I recommend the next RSA commissioner be Pam Shaw, of developing a list of qualified candidates from our organization, the way that other organization has had the last three RSA commissioners in their hip pocket is that they do something else. They get involved in the political process. They have people on the local, state, and national level who network, who get involved in political issues, get involved in partisan politics, and they are known, and they are respected, and they can make recommendations, and those recommendations are adhered to. So it's an internal issue, but it's also an external issue, and every member of this organization can participate in that process.
All right, thanks. Doc Ed, what do you think about this one?
I think that the opportunity for us to get members of ACB or people that will support ACB into higher government positions is coming from everyone up here that's answered so far. But I really think that the list of qualified applicants and us working that list to let them know and let us know to keep that list up to date, and don't just look for a list for one job. Let's try to categorize them because there's a lot of lower jobs that can be extremely important also. So I think this idea of the list, and that list needs to be worked very, very carefully and very hard. And that could be an answer.
Time.
Thank you, Ed. Teddy Joy Remheld.
Well, I certainly agree with some of the suggestions that have been made here, particularly Oral and Mitch's. I think particularly Mitch's, you need to have political relationships. You need to know people, and they need to know you. On both sides of the aisle, not whoever is in power, you need to have friends in their group, in their party, and when they move out, you need to have friends in the other party. But in addition to that, I think we need to know who the talented people are in our organization. I don't think that we're using or recognizing all the talent that's out there and available to us, and I think that is that will be very integral in our finding someone that can fill those kinds of positions on high levels in our political structure. So that's what I suggest.
Thank you, Teddy. Naomi Sewell?
Well, depending on what happens in November, we better start thinking about the commissioner position right now. And we're going to need help from the state affiliates. You know who your talented people are in your states. We know a little bit on a national level, but you know who those people are. And we will need a lot of help from you to get names of individuals who would be qualified for those types of jobs and to start really maybe grooming people now for the kinds of jobs that will become available. And also, again, working very, very much on a political level in your states and with your legislatures. It's going to be very important. Thank you.
Thanks, Naomi. Rebecca Floyd.
I think it's very important to get involved on the local level. And if you're trying to get someone in a position in your state government, that affiliate, the affiliate for that state, need
will need to get behind that person and really work for them. In Mississippi, we used to have a director of vocational rehabilitation for the blind. He could get anything he wanted from the legislature, because when the going got rough, he marched out the canes and the dogs. And that's what the legislators used to tell him. He's going to march out the canes and the dogs, and they'd give him everything he wanted. But people in the affiliates need to get involved, and they need to get behind their candidate.
Time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Arlene. Sure. Cynthia Towers.
If any of you have ever played chess, you know that you need to have your important pieces in strategic positions in order to be able to move appropriately. When positions come up, we can't just drop somebody out of the air, just as when you're playing chess, you can't just pick a piece out of the air and put it where you need it. We need to start developing these leaders early. We need to put some training into place at our national conventions, speaking types of training. Also, too, we have our legislative seminar, making that stronger. We need to give people the tools and techniques that they need so that when these positions do come up, they will be there. Thank you.
The canes and dogs was Becky Floyd. Apologize. Arlene?
ACB is made up of so many talented, intelligent people that I think that we could probably find a few in this room or in this country that would be very, very qualified to fill positions of power. I also believe that we need to make a list, just like everyone else has said, and I do think that we need to be politically active, not only on a national level, but on a state level, and on a city level or town level, wherever you happen to live, because we on the as a national group cannot do it by ourselves. You as members can make a difference.
Thanks. If I did this right, everybody got a chance to speak, right?
Yep.
All right. Thanks. Our next question, going back to the audience. What is your name?
Where's my
phone? I got it.
My name is Ronald Milliman. I'm president of the South Central Kentucky Council of the Blind. And my question is, as you know, ACB faces many very challenging and critical issues. Having said that, in your opinion, what is the singular most critical challenge, either opportunity or problem, that ACB faces, and how do you propose to deal with it?
All right. So what we're going to do with this, we'll start with Cynthia Towers.
I think the single most critical issue in the American Council of the Blind today is the big M, money. It's the single most critical issue in my life, and I'm sure it is in many other people's lives as well. When money is short, many other things follow suit. People get anxious. People get nervous. People think, okay, well, we're just going to change everything. We're just going to change everything. Everything's going to be okay. And we really need to sit and think about, in these hard economic times that are facing everybody, from the local grocer to the mega mall, what are we going to do to develop our resources? So I think that money doesn't make you happy, but money does give you more choices. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Cynthia. Thanks, Cynthia. David Trott.
I'd like to echo what Cynthia said. I agree, it's money. And the way I believe we are going to have to resolve that problem is we're already developing our internal resources. We're going to have to go outside of the organization, and as Chris Gray and some of the other leadership has already done, continue to develop the corporate resources that we're beginning to get, but also look at some outside fundraising activities that will bring millions of dollars into the organization, and that's what we're going to have to look for.
Thanks. Ed Bradley.
Well, I do have to agree that it's money, but I have a little bit different approach for it. Number one, well, there's, to me, I have a twofold thing. One is the board itself is going to have to get more involved in fundraising and bringing in leads and assisting the president and the executive director. Number two, I think we have to have a resource development person in this organization that's their job, and we need to get that done just as soon as we possibly can. And if we get the right one, our finances can and will turn around. Thank you.
Thanks, Ed. Becky Floyd.
A change up here. I believe communication. We can get to our corporate people if we have people that will and can communicate with them. So we can get funds that way. We can get members that way through communication. We can keep down dissension within our organization through good, open, honest communication. So I believe that communication is the thing that we need to concentrate on to make sure that we are doing it properly to put ACB back on its feet again.
Thank you. Mitch Pomerantz.
Here's the microphone.
We're going to... It's fundraising, folks. No two ways about it. We're beginning to see efforts paying off. But our initiatives have to be, again, multifaceted. MMS, we can all contribute more. Corporate outreach, every day of this convention has been sponsored, and that's an amazing feat to me. Other initiatives, such as the vehicle donation program, we still bring in over $200,000 a year in California. Every board member has a responsibility to do what he or she can to increase funding in this organization. And I've made a commitment to champion the MMS program along with Doc. And beyond that, as Doc said, the next position we fill after advocacy and editor is a director of development.
Thanks, Mitch. Oral Miller?
There is a financial need. Let's make it clear, the big squeeze has come because the income has dropped. It's not because of tracking or anything like that. The money has to come in, and I lean hard on the M&M program, MMS program, because that enables a person with small income to make a big gift. Now, that can be amplified then in dealing with the corporate donors, because after all, look what we can say we're having our own people do. Look what they're doing. So this is going to be multiplied in that way. Yes, there's a need for a development person. We haven't had one for a long time. And a number of activities that have been allowed to slump a bit that have brought in money, significant amounts of money in the past, can be beefed back up with slight changes in assignments of personnel, existing personnel in the Washington office. So that will make a huge difference. And finally, things that some project that's going to give recognition, I'm talking about public recognition, et cetera, for the American Council of the Blind, a name, identification, PR.
Time. Thanks, Oral. Naomi Sewell.
Well, money. We've been saying it all along here. And I really feel that we have to have a development director or a marketing person. An organization of this size has that type of person in place. And I think it's extremely important that we have that. Someone who knows how to write grants, someone who knows how to go after what we need to have in order to continue
I also feel that board members need to be very involved, which I have on many boards that I've been involved with. I have done a lot of fundraising and creative fundraising, and we have to have something that will identify ACB in the public so that the public knows who we are. And if they know who we are, then I think more people are going to be willing to get behind us and give and also partner with us.
All right, thanks. Teddy Joy?
Well, money, of course, and I think some of the ideas that have already been spoken are really good. I think also that we need to have our priorities in order, and I think that's when once everybody is committed toward the goal of pursuing increased funding, it's going to happen, and then we need to have our priorities in order, and that number one priority, as far as I'm concerned, is the Braille Forum. It needs to be funded, and it needs to be circulated, and it needs to be out there, not only for our members, but for the public at large. That's one way that we're going to be more well-known, and that people will give us, recognize us, and make us a target of donations. So Braille Forum first, and everything else, I think, will follow.
Thanks, sir. Next, Arlene Cohen.
Well, I guess I agree with everyone else that money is a very, very big issue. I do believe that ACB should have a director of development and fundraising. I know in Ohio we do have a grant writer, and I'm very proud to say that about 2 months ago we received a grant in Ohio for $50,000, and it was unrestricted. So I do believe that this is the way to go. I think with money or more money, we as an organization can do more for you as members. Thank you.
All right. If I did this right again, everybody got a chance to speak, correct? Thanks. Okay, and our final question comes from this very patient lady who has been standing out here in the audience. Hi, as if I didn't know who this was. Here's my old friend. How you doing?
Doing great. This is Lynn Correll from Anchorage, Alaska. This is my question. My question is, how do you think communication can be best handled with a far-flung board and a staff in the national office, including the executive director? What is the role? Thank you.
What you're really saying is that the board's in one place and the office is another place and the president's another place. That's what you mean, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the communication between the board and all those people is what we're asking this time. Let's hear from Teddy Joy.
Well, we have already begun many modes of increasing communication with teleconference calls, with website chats, with email lists, and of course in improving our circulation of Braille Forum. So I think the communication is already happening. I think the teleconference calls are important. When you can't meet in person, meeting in person is important. But when you can't meet in person, teleconference, emails, and website chats. I really appreciate chat room topics that Paul Edwards has developed on a weekly basis. I think that kind of thing is really leading to very, constructive and improved communication.
15 seconds.
Thanks very much, Teddy Joy. Let's go next to Cynthia Towers.
I'm going to echo what Teddy said. I think that with email, you could put, and I know that there is a board list, and we could develop another list where board and national office staff are on that list as well, to just communicate little ideas, anything, just off the top of my head, conventions coming up, is everybody in place, let's make sure of this and that and so forth. Also, Teddy talked about the telecommunication.
15.
And I think that it's important to do that as well, to have regular meetings so that we can talk. And if we can't do it face-to-face, do it word-to-word. Thank you.
Thanks. Mitch Pomerantz, communication.
I'm less concerned about the quantity of communication than I am with the quality of communication. We have a good deal of communication via those email lists and chat rooms, but my concern is how we communicate. You know, we shoot first and ask questions later. We think we're part of the police department. We need to return to civil discussion. I said earlier, agree to disagree. The Office Review Committee will be developing our handbook to clarify lines of communication with the office staff, the executive director, the board of directors, and the president. I think we're on the right track quantity-wise. It's the quality we got to fix.
All right, thanks, Mitch. Doc Ed, where do you weigh in on this one?
Well, I'm a very strong believer in communication, and I think communication is one of the most important factors in any cohesive organization. But I agree with Mitch wholeheartedly. It's not the amount, but the quality. We have to be careful of what we say in those communications and how it is said. And if we are careful about that and consider that, consider what we say, I think that is the direction that we need to go more so than the other of having quality. Quantity. Thank you.
Thanks, Ed. Let's hear from Arlene Cohen.
I just lost my train of thought.
Communication, Arlene.
No, I.
Okay.
And I know it's communication. Okay. I believe that the lines of communication between the office staff, the executive director, and the board of directors and president should be open. I know that the board is putting together job descriptions or lines of communication, which I think is good. I think that the employees of the office will be reporting to the executive director, who will then report to the board, and because the board sets the policy and the executive director and the office staff carry out that policy. Thank you.
Thanks, Arlene. Naomi Sewell?
Well, I really think that there has to be a clear line of communication, and the line between board members and staff has to be defined very much. I'll tell you, I've been involved with organizations where board members are calling people every day, and that is just not necessary, and it's not fair to staff. We have got to have lines of communication with the executive director. And if there is some project that we're working on with that individual, that's one thing. I also feel that we have to be responsible when we are communicating via email, and that everyone holds some responsibility in what they write and what and how they are saying what they say to everyone. We cannot have things misconstrued and have feelings hurt, and we need to be very careful about that.
David Trott.
I believe we began work on that last Saturday when we set up the position for the executive director and the guidelines that we wanted that position ran under. I believe that most of the communication should be through the board and the executive director. However, when you're facing special projects, I don't believe that there shouldn't be a reason why you couldn't pick up the phone or email any individual on the board or in the national office. But I believe we're already stepping in that direction. And if we just keep going in the vein that we were in, we'll be okay.
Cynthia?
I already answered.
Oh, sorry. I thought so. I thought so. Oral Miller?
Thank you. I never thought I would suggest this, having lived through it a number of years ago myself. But I see an advantage, Melanie, don't hate me, to a reporting system. I'm not talking about a lengthy report. I'm talking about a timeliness of reporting.
Quality, yes, but I'm talking about frequency. So a quickie report goes sort of listing the priorities, the things that are being worked on, let's say, that week. In the past, it was done by a telephone, which I was telephone call, which I was required to make, sort of saying this week the main emphasis is going to be on this, 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 and this. And it probably took 15, 20 minutes on the telephone. So I'm talking about a short, quickie reporting system. And, yes, when it goes, then there should be some sort of opportunity for the board members to shoot something back to the director. And, yes, it should go to the director because we have to walk that very fine line.
15 seconds.
Between guidance, reminder, and at the same time micromanagement, which we don't want to do, because there's a risk if board members are looking over the shoulders of employees. Employees don't like that, and they shouldn't.
Ed Bradley. I didn't do Ed.
What's that?
Did I?
I don't think I did, Ed. You tell me I did? I know I didn't do Becky.
No. There you go. It was Becky, not Ed.
I did everybody?
No, okay, I forgot. I have not done this one.
Your memory's getting bad again.
No, Becky didn't do this because
no,
I've been checking off
Becky
names.
Becky has not done this one.
Go ahead, Becky.
Okay, thank
you. I've been checking off these names.
Okay. I believe that good communication between the board and the executive director of the national office is very important. Frequent communication, once a week, once every couple of weeks. I believe the executive director needs to be able to get in touch with the board anytime to on projects that they are working on. But again, I'm not sure. I believe that we should be contacting, doing a lot of contacting with the staff because you do have the problem of micromanagement. We would even have the problem of micromanagement with the executive director if we weren't careful, but that's not as bad as with the staff. So I believe the open communication is very important between the board and the national office, and certainly between the board and the membership at large. Thank you.
Time.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it, tonight's candidates forum. First of all, I want to thank all of you for being a great audience. You've done exactly what we needed to do to be quiet. The second thing I want to say is tomorrow is election day. Tomorrow is a very important day. I hope you'll take what you've heard tonight, think about it overnight, be ready to be civil tomorrow when you speak before everyone. Thank you very much on behalf of the ACB Board of Publications. Thanks, and have a great evening.
Thank you, Jay.
I won't forget.
ACB Radio Mainstream.
The Pennsylvania Council of the Blind will be meeting across the hall in room C. Pennsylvania in room C. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night.
ACB Radio Mainstream coming to you live from the Birmingham Jefferson Convention Complex in Birmingham, Alabama. And tonight, of course, has been the Candidates Forum. And a number of issues explored this evening, including education, finance, communication, all manner of subjects. And, of course, the candidates for the Board of Publications and the Board of Directors having the opportunity this evening to speak to interested parties about the issues which concern them. We're probably going to knock it off here in a second, just people leaving the hall. You get a sense of that. And certainly a lot of conversation there. And don't forget, of course, ACB Radio Mainstream's coverage of the 43rd Annual Convention of the American Council of the Blind resumes tomorrow morning, bright and early, oh yes, at 8 Central Time, and the business itself beginning at 8:35. Hello there, sir. Good evening.
Excuse me.
Hello there. Right, you're behind the ACB radio table. Can we help you? Are you looking for the way out? Are you looking for the exit?
Yes.
Okay. Well, right. Okay. If you turn around, sir, and then the exit is just to your right.
To my right?
To your right. Okay. That's right. Tomorrow, as Jay mentioned, of course, election day, and the possibility that we may run into a Saturday morning session if we don't complete all our business tomorrow. And don't forget, of course, ACB Radio Mainstream will be covering the banquet. We don't have a clear time for that. I guess as soon as people finish eating, we will be connecting, and we'll try and keep you posted as much as possible through the ACB Radio mailing lists. And for the latest information, we would urge you to subscribe to one of our lists. There are two available. We have an announcements only list, which is a relatively low traffic list, and you can join that by sending a blank email message to announce-subscribe@acbradio.org. That's announce-subscribe@acbradio.org for announcements. And if you want to communicate with other ACB Radio friends and listeners, then you can join our friends list, and you join that by sending a blank email message to friends-subscribe@acbradio.org. That's friends-subscribe@acbradio.org. Good evening.
Good evening. We have people.
We have people. Just one moment.
Colleague from Washington.
Okay, one second. We can't hear you. So let me just give you a microphone.
Turn his pots
on. One second. I'm just twiddling with my knobs here. One second.
Twiddling with my knobs.
Right. Okay. There's a microphone.
All right.
There we go. If I put that to you.
This is Marlena Lieberg, and with me I have Denise Colley from Washington State.
Hello, Denise.
And I said, would you like to say something on ACB Radio? So here she is.
Here she is.
Well, hello, everybody out there on ACB Radio. We're having a wonderful convention here. I hope you've all had a chance to listen to most of it. It's been spirited. It will be spirited tomorrow, but it's been an awesome experience. We have some really good candidates running for offices, and I look forward to a good business meeting tomorrow.
It's certainly going to be a long day, isn't it, tomorrow? Because of course we've got a lot of voting to get through, and of course the possibility that we may run into a Saturday.
Absolutely.
And have you you don't tell us, but have you decided who you're voting for tomorrow?
Not completely.
This is
going to be a very tough decision.
So we've still got one or two floating voters, so still some work to do on the part of the various candidates that we've been hearing from this evening. How's your convention been so far, Denise?
My convention has been extremely busy. I feel like I have been running all week and haven't had time to breathe, but I've gotten to do a lot of great things and meet awesome people, and that's always the greatest part of coming to ACB National Convention.
So how many conventions have you attended?
Oh, gosh. At least seven or eight.
Is that a good thing?
I think so.
Yes, I think
keep coming back, so it must be.
They're doing something right,
aren't
they?
That's right.
They're doing
That's
something right.
Right.
Do you listen to ACB Radio?
I certainly do.
Excellent. Fantastic. Well, it's great to have you coming up to our table here at the back of the room. We're doing our very best to bring comprehensive coverage of this, the 43rd Annual Convention of the American Council of the Blind. We have experienced some internet connectivity issues this morning during the general session, but we are working very hard with the sound guys to make sure that we can get a complete recording of that available on demand from the ACB Radio website.
Great. Sounds great.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
If I can just...
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
You can't get off the radio, can you?
I try to stay away from the controversy. I'm not comfortable in controversy.
Uh-huh.
But I have to say that I hope that any inkling of a thought that the connectivity is anything other than a connectivity issue is absolutely out of the ballpark. And if anyone knows anything about the internet, one of the things you do know is that it flat isn't always reliable.
Absolutely.
And I want to say that I tried to download a web page in my room, which has a broadband connection. Last night, it took me 7 minutes to open Google.
Lovely.
So if anyone is thinking anything other than internet connectivity issues, please stop. Please think about the nature of the beast with which we're working.
Yeah, I certainly didn't fly 9,000 miles not to cover this event in the most comprehensive way possible. So a very well point made there, Marlena. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I almost didn't
Shall we have tea?
I almost didn't let you make it.
Well, see? I know how to run that mixer.
Oh, do you want to come and drive the boat?
No.
I think we're all about finished.
I think so. I hope everyone on ACB Radio has a great evening, and we'll be back tomorrow.